This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Gentlemen, welcome to America's Auto Enthusiast Program. This is Auto World. And now, here's your host, Bob Long.
It is my absolute pleasure to spend this time with you on the very same radio station that you're listening to us right now, or perhaps you're joining us anywhere worldwide on GCNlive.com. We thank you so much. We've got a trivia contest out there. It's an easy one. I've been looking at a lot of the Barrett-Jackson auction coverage of recent times, and I'm looking for the name. This is so easy. We've had a number of guests, but no one has nailed it exactly. The name of the retractable hardtop convertible from the 1950s from the Ford Motor Company. We've got Tom Cotter, author extraordinaire, with two wonderful books to tell us about on deck, but just finishing up quickly with Don Jones about the Harris Speedster. And Don, I was going to mention to you last week that we could call upon Dave Kinney, who writes the Haggerty Price Guy. He also contributes to Auto Week and Automobile Magazine. I'm sure when he's traveling around, he could probably swing by and shed some light on the potential worth of this. So down the road, we can do that if you want.
I think it might be a good idea. It's kind of something that the owner and I have talked about. Apparently, he's been involved with classic cars most of his life, to the extent of even being a judge and knowing judges and knowing a lot of people from the American Sports Car Association, some of these other places that judge cars that are the quality of Pebble Beach from some of the things he's told me. What we're going to do is that I need to talk to a lawyer, and we need to get a piece of paper with this fellow to kind of outline exactly what we're going to do for him and what our compensation is to do it. So I want to do that, and then I need to talk over with him courses of action. And originally we were looking for a deep-pocket banker for it, which we're still doing, but not as actively as I intended at first. He has at least $100,000 worth of cars in his garage that he wants to sell, and that could go a long way to start the restoration on the car. But
absolutely,
he seems to think it'll run about 160. I'm thinking more around 200.
Wow.
But, these are things we'll work out over the next week or two.
Absolutely. Why don't we make sure and give out your telephone number, and Don will actually answer the phone. So go right ahead, Don.
Yeah, area code 314-306-7507. Be sure to say hi to Tom for me, and I hope to see him again when we go out to Mille Island.
Yeah, no, definitely. We can bring him on quickly now if you want to ask him a little bit about the Harris Speedster, if he has ever heard of it. Tom Cotter is, in my opinion, the greatest automotive author of all time. His latest books are Route 66 Barn Find Road Trip, Lost Collector Cars Along the Mother Road, and a really spectacular book that he did with his pal Bill Warner, the man who started the Amelia Island Concours, all about Cuba, Cuba's car culture, celebrating the island's automotive love affair. We're going to talk about both of those books. But, Tom, you might remember Don Jones from the old Car Guys, and just wanted to put you guys together to say hello for a second.
Hey, Tom. How you doing, Don? I've never heard of a Harris, but it sure sounds intriguing.
Yeah, there's some stuff up on my Facebook on it, and there is things that you can Google on it to get some idea. But I have discovered that some of the stuff online is erroneous, so take it with a grain of salt.
Can't wait to see it.
Yep. He's got some
pictures. Hey, buddy, I'm going to sign off now. Bob, I'll talk to you later, buddy.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you very much, and we'll look forward to getting you back soon. Tom,
hey,
my friend, thank you for being here, and that Harris vehicle will be interesting to see it unfold. I know the owner has got pictures of Marilyn Monroe and some other folks sitting in it, but it remains a mystery to me as well. I am not up to speed on the Harris Speedster from the 1930s. But what you've been busy. Let's begin by talking about the Cuba book, because this is just great. You and Bill Water made the trip to Cuba, and I knew that you were going to be doing this, and I got this book just within the last couple of weeks, and it is just chock full of goodies. Tell our listeners all across North America and around the world all about Cuba's car culture.
Well, Bill and I went there in 2009 for the first time, and it was part of a cultural exchange that we did. We invited the curator for the Havana Auto Museum to come and be a judge at Amelia. And because we were inviting him to come, there was a reciprocal opportunity for us to go down to Cuba and do research on the race cars as it had raced in the Cuban Grand Prix in 1957, 58, and 60. And so we went down in 2009, and I took lots of notes, Bill took lots of pictures, but didn't really think I had enough to do a book. And really, I don't know, it was intriguing, but it wasn't the right moment. So Bill went down a couple of other times with other groups, and then we went down last summer in the 2015 July, and I took lots more notes, and Bill took lots more pictures, and finally, it seemed like this is the right time, because, you know, the border, not the border, but relations had opened between the U.S. and Cuba for the first time in a half a century. And the first time we went there, I saw lots of machine guns. But when I went back 6 years later, I didn't see all those machine guns. It seemed to be a more welcoming place. And, you know, it seemed that relations between the two countries may eventually become normalized. And even my city where I live, Charlotte, North Carolina, has just been granted the right to have airplane flights, round-trip flights from Charlotte,
wow,
Havana, and back. So we said, you know, last year we said, let's do it. Let's just do it. Now's the time. And interestingly, the day that we left Cuba in July was the day that John Kerry was arriving in Cuba to open up the U.S. Embassy on that same day. So as we were driving to the airport, we saw all the TV cameras and crowds of people in front of the U.S. Embassy. So it was really a wonderful moment in a car guy's life.
Absolutely. For some of our younger listeners and the folks that may not be familiar with the history of Cuba, I mean, that's a fascinating one in itself. This was a thriving place, lots of tourism and lots of Americanism going on in the 50s. There were certainly a lot of American cars, and then, of course, came 1959 and Fidel Castro. But tell us about the Cuba of 1950 to 1959.
Well, it was a vibrant place. It was actually the largest importer of American cars in the world. So America was the largest consumer of their own products, automotive products, but Cuba was the second largest consumer of automotive products. And it was really like the 51st state, or at that time would have been, let's say, the 49th state. We treated it as a state. There were ferry boats that ran back and forth from Miami and Key West to Cuba. People could go back and forth without any issue at all. And
wow,
that all changed in 1959 when communism took over, and it became kind of a banana republic.
Absolutely. When we come back on the other side, more about the fascinating story of Cuban car culture with Tom Cotter. This is Auto World.
you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Let's say you want to make a do-it-yourself repair on your vehicle. Where do you turn for advice? If you're considering free online repair advice, you might want to consider The Source. Instead of putting your vehicle at risk, rely on accurate, complete guidance from start to finish with the experts at Haynes. Every Haynes manual is based on a complete teardown and rebuild of the vehicle. They learn the best ways to do a job and make it easier and cheaper for you. Haynes now offers online manuals that are formatted for all electronic devices. Rather than chance it on the internet, see the experts at Haynes.com.
J.C. Whitney is celebrating 101 years of everything automotive. Visit jcwhitney.com today to see their vast selection of performance and replacement parts and accessories and request a Jeep, truck, or general catalog. The 101 sweepstakes is now underway, and you can enter to win a custom Jeep Wrangler Unlimited, plus see their car show event calendar and more at 100.jcwhitney.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users, if you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Giving your radio a broadcasted tune-up, this is Auto World and your host, Bob Long.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was set in the pace? That story.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Tom Cotter is with us. He, along with photographer Bill Warner, founder of the Amelia Island Concours, have just released a wonderful book. It's called Cuba's Car Culture, Celebrating the Island's Automotive Love Affair. And as Tom pointed out, up until 1959, this was a thriving tourist spot, the largest importer of American cars. And then it all came to an end. So what did the Cuban car guys and car girls do? I mean, how did they keep these vehicles alive without accurate replacement parts? And certainly it would be difficult to do other things such as drag race or customize a car.
These people, first of all, they're incredible people. We dedicated the book to the courage and the kind of the resourcefulness of the Cuban people. I spoke to one man who he's probably late 70s, maybe 80. And he told me that he used to go back and forth to Miami all the time. And he went over to Miami, bought a fuel-injected 57 Corvette and drove it around Miami and put it on the ferry and drove it around Cuba. And 57, 58, well, what happened in 59? The walls went up and we stopped importing vehicles there. And so suddenly he had a hard time getting parts for the car. He used to go to Sebring. He couldn't go to Sebring to watch the races anymore. And now he's an 80-year-old man. And, you know, he had just kind of surrender. He ultimately sold the car to somebody probably 25 years ago or so. He had to surrender his automotive fantasy about, you know, racing and collecting and restoring cars. And he had to give in. And it was so sad to hear his story. So the people that are there, it's really odd to say, but all car guys say, when the relations open up between the United States and Cuba, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to buy, you know, cars and bring them back here and sell them. But I have to tell you, they're not in very good shape. And you'd be a lot better going to Alabama or New Mexico to buy a car. You could buy a much better car, much cheaper than you could buy one in Cuba. First of all, you can't buy one in Cuba because they are state treasures and they can't leave the country. But secondly, these people are so poor that they can't afford to do repairs the way you'd like them done. So, you know, they can't afford Bondo at times, so they do body work with plaster of Paris. And they can't afford brake fluid very often because it's expensive. It has to come from Europe or Russia or someplace. And so they use silicone-based shampoo in the brake line.
Wow.
One man wanted to rebuild his Chevy engine, but he couldn't get piston rings. You just can't get them. So he found a cast iron pipe and cut it with a hacksaw and filed the edges and made new piston rings out of cast iron pipe. I mean, these people are amazingly resourceful. We met an artist. Artists have a lot of money. Athletes have a lot of money. And opera singers and those kind of people have a lot of money. And they can do what they want. Well, this artist had a 54 Corvette that had been totaled in the front end in 54 and was in a garage for decades. Well, he got it and paid for a local craftsman to repair the front end. It looks like a 54 Corvette, but the whole front end is metal. From the windshield out, no fiberglass. You can't get fiberglass. So they use a 57 Ford hood to make a hood out of it, and they use pictures to make what the fenders look like, and it looks pretty darn close.
Oh, that's cool. And so many wonderful photography, photography work by our good friend Bill Warner in the book. And boy, you see some real classics. There's lots of Studebakers and Bel Airs and Fairlanes. And what were some of the other common vehicles that you saw a lot of? Late 50s Chevys. What do you see on the streets of Cuba?
Yeah, Chevrolets are the most popular. I went back and researched, and Chevrolet was the biggest selling car before the revolution. So lots of 55, 67 Chevys, 58. For some reason, people don't like 58s. And I don't know what it was, but they like 59s. There were a few 1960 cars there, Chevys and Fords. They made it in, you know, they were early production cars coming out at the end of the 1959 year. So they made it in under the wire. But so many Chevys, and then, you know, car they're not old 50s cars. We saw 1929 Ford Model A, 1935 Ford sedan. We found lots of station wagons that had custom bodies on them. In other words, they might have been Woodies at one time, but they were no Woodies anymore that I saw. But these were metal-bodied station wagons. They look like ambulances or something, but they look pretty cool. But, you know, in the United States, you know, we call cars 20-footers or 30-footers. You know, if you get any closer than 30 feet, kind of looks pretty bad. Well, in Cuba, Bill Warner, my co-author, said these are 100-yarders. If you get any closer than a football field, you realize that this might not be the pink Cadillac convertible that Elvis drove.
Very good. And the book has a wonderful foreword by Sir Sterling Moss, and that's a great honor to have that in there, Tom.
Well, he drove in the three Grand Prix that were held, 57, 58, and 60, and won 1960. And, you know, Carroll Shelby drove in it, Dan Gurney drove in it, and Jim Jeffords, and, you know, all the big racing names of the day, of the mid to late 50s, early 60s, drove in those Cuban Grand Prix. And they were parties. The country was just a party capital. And that was part of what brought its downfall, is that it was a mobster hangout. Mafia ran the casinos there. There was prostitution and theft. And that got the kind of the ire of the U.S. government. There was lots of Cadillacs there because the mafia, who had homes there and businesses there, would keep Cadillacs there. And you can't believe how many Cadillacs are there. And I wondered, why was that? Well, I found out why that was. The mafia guys liked Cadillacs. So, an amazing place, and I feel so lucky to have experienced the car guy's bucket list to visit a country that has been pretty much closed off for much of my life. And we were able to go there unshackled, and go searching around and talking to people, and we found some amazing classics. I mean, not just Chevys and Buicks, but Mercedes-Benz Gullwings.
Wow. It's a great book. It's available now, and you can get it at the usual spots, including, of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and once in a while, your local bookstore will have this book as well. It's Cuba's Car Culture, Celebrating the Island's Automotive Love Affair, by our good friend and guest Tom Cotter and Bill Warner. We'll take a pit stop, and then we're going to talk about The Mother Road and another great book by Tom. This is Auto World. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Are you one of the millions of Americans who suffer from digestive issues like heartburn, acid reflux, IBS, and constipation? Probimune is your answer. Probimune is a brand new probiotic that has been scientifically proven to deliver high quantities of viable good bacteria to your gut to boost your digestive system and improve your overall health. This unique, powerful blend of probiotic strains, coupled with our industry-leading proprietary fermentation process, delivers a maximized bacterial colonization to the gut that no other probiotic can match. Start improving your health today. Visit younghealth.com or call 800-396-9024. Use coupon code DIGEST to receive 15% off first-time orders. Maintaining digestive health is crucial to the body's overall well-being. Don't suffer from negative effects of poor digestion any longer. Order today. Younghealth.com or call 800-396-9024.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
Back to the music in a minute, but first I've got a special free giveaway. I've got 100 free trials of a belly flattening breakthrough Nubiotics here, and I've been authorized to give them away to the station's first 100 callers right now. So if you want to see what you'd look like with a flatter belly, call now. Don't even wait till I stop talking. Only one free trial per caller, though. Don't be greedy. Okay, here's the number. 1-800-983-5628. I'm guessing it works pretty fast, because it says here that if your belly flattening results are too dramatic, you're supposed to reduce use to every other day. And it looks like it's made from natural ingredients, too. Scientifically formulated to cleanse pounds of toxic sludge from your body. Okay, this is it. If you want a flatter belly, be one of the first 100 callers right now to claim one of these free trials. 1-800-983-5628. If lines are busy, try again. 1-800-983-5628. Call now for details. 1-800-983-5628.
Broadcasting from the middle of Corvette Boulevard and Stingray Avenue, this is Auto World with your host, Bob Long.
It's over with right now. We have a winner on the easy trivia question. Everybody should know this one. Of course, it's a Skyliner from Ford, and the winner is William, who is in Mississippi. William, we will send you out a cool prize, courtesy of the Busted Nut Garage and the one and only Warren Tracy. And speaking of one and only, we have got Tom Cotter with us, who, along with photographer Michael Allen Ross, have put together a great book. It was released officially yesterday, my birthday, so this is going to be a big book for you. It's called Route 66 Barn Find Road Trip Lost Collector Cars Along the Mother Road. And what a trip you had. Tell our listeners all about your trip and how you got inspiration to do this.
Well, the inspiration was from a year and a half or 2 years ago. We took my Woody Wagon, a 39 Ford, that actually I found in a barn when I was 15, and drove it around four states to see how many cars we could find in 2 weeks. And we drove it through Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, and Pennsylvania. My publisher asked me, do you think we can find 100 cars? I said, I think so. We found 1,500 cars, and most of them for sale. So I said, wow, what could be a follow-up to that book? And so we decided, well, let's drive Route 66. And we started in Chicago, on the shores of Lake Michigan, at the very beginning of Route 66, and drove out to the Santa Monica Pier in Los Angeles County, more than 2,000 miles all the way through eight states, and we found thousands of cars, met amazing people, would find, you know, a pickup truck in this guy's backyard, and 4,000 cars in a junkyard in, you know, 5 miles up the road. So we weren't particular. We found foreign cars, domestic cars, but it was really the people. Just, you know, the Woody is a great icebreaker. And if you pull in somebody's driveway with a Woody wagon that's 75 years old, they kind of know you're a real serious car person. And so it was the people we met that, and you could see the photos in the book. I mean, we tried to take pictures of the people who owned those cars. And it was just so cool.
Yes, and definitely we should salute Michael Allen Ross. He did a terrific job in capturing all of these vehicles and capturing your trip as well. And did Michael ride along in your Woody as well, or was he in a separate vehicle?
On Route 66, he was in a separate vehicle. Ford Motor Company gave us a support vehicle so we could put his camera gear and luggage and tools and spare parts. And my friend Brian Barr and I rode in the Woody, and Michael followed us. So it was three of us, and then Brian had to leave halfway through the trip. So then it was me driving the Woody alone and Michael in the vehicle behind us. But we were met up with by people from Hagerty Insurance who asked if they could follow us for a few days and just shoot video of us finding old cars. So I said, sure. And
that
has become the Barn Find Hunter series on YouTube.
Oh, I got to check that out. Very good. I wasn't aware of that. And again, I have not done the Route 66 trip. Hope to do it one of these days. And certainly, I know we have many mutual journalist friends, including Ken Gross, who talks about doing this trip. And I've had some people email me actually from the United Kingdom wanting to know if it's possible to rent a car, a classic car, and drive Route 66. And it sounds like a good business idea, actually.
Well, I thought it was a good business idea, too, and so I found out there were plenty of businesses doing it already.
Okay.
You can fly into either Chicago or L.A. and rent a car, you know, 55 Chevy or something, and drive it, and they have authorized repair shops along the route. So if you have an issue, you can bring it to one of those shops, and they'll fix it for you. Route 66 is such a historic road. In fact, we talked about Cuba a few minutes ago, which I think is stuck in the 50s. Well, in some ways, Route 66 is stuck in the 50s, too. So between these two books, really, they're both stuck, you know, back in time. And I would encourage people to, you know, if they have the time, I'd say a couple of weeks. You'd want to do a couple of weeks. You don't want to zip through this beautiful country to see the sights, to see the old, you know, neon signs and hotels and gas stations and mountain ranges and, you know, cactus and junkyards. It's such an amazing country. And to see it the way, someone like Woody Guthrie would have seen it, 50 or 60 years ago when he was going cross country, is really a special treat. It is a bigger deal to Europeans than it is to Americans. We met a husband and wife who picked up in Dallas a Starsky and Hutch replica Ford Torino, and we're driving it from Dallas up to Chicago, and we're going to drive it over a 3-week period out to L.A. and then have the car shipped back to England. But he said, we meet a lot more people from Europe doing this trip than we meet Americans. It's like the Americans have it right underneath their noses, and they don't take advantage of this place. So it's a mystical place around the world, not so much in America.
Yeah, it's too bad, but 100% true. In addition to looking around for all the wonderful potential barn finds on this trip, you chronicle in the book all the sights that you saw, and that's really cool, the attractions, the motels, the places that you ate. Tell our listeners all about that.
Well, we decided we wanted to make it a book that had more than just rusty fenders in it. And so we went to, say, Ted Drew's custard stand in St. Louis, which is a world-famous custard stand. And when they give you a custard in a cup, they turn it upside down just to show you how thick it is. It doesn't spill out. we went to, hamburger places, hot dog places that have been there, for 50, 60 years, at least 70 years. We went to Cadillac Ranch in Amarillo, where all those Cadillacs are buried in the noses are buried in the ground, and their tails are sticking up in the air. And they encouraged people, the artist that did the installation, encourages people to come there with spray cans and customize these Cadillacs, and then leave your spray can if there's any paint left, so other people can come and customize the Cadillac. Those Cadillacs, Bob, have paint. It's got to be 4 inches thick. It is unbelievable.
Wow.
It's just amazing mountain ranges. And I have to tell you, finding cars in New Mexico and Arizona, those cars are so solid compared to the cars we found up north in Illinois. You know, because it's dry and it's hot and there's no humidity to speak of. So the cars were beautiful, the scenery was beautiful, and the beautiful sights were beautiful.
It sounds like a win-win, and that custard stand sounds really fantastic. What about some of the other cool restaurants you've met along the way and spent time with some of the folks behind the counter?
Well, I remember in Amarillo, the stop where we were at, looking at the Cadillac Ranch, that we did that in the morning. Well, in the evening, we went to a steakhouse, and we met a bartender, waitress, and, I mean, she was just a blast. I mean, she was like, she was a perfect Texan. You know, she was full of piss and vinegar, and, you know, if you wanted to have her suggestion on what steak to order, well, she wasn't afraid to tell you. It was really cool. We started the trip in Chicago, and you have to have a Chicago hot dog, you know. So we started out at a hot dog place, the Wiener Circle, and in Chicago. And, you know, the Chicago dog, somewhere buried in there is a piece of meat. But there's pickles and onions and all sorts of stuff in between. And the beautiful thing about those hot dogs is you taste them once, and then 2 hours later you can taste them again.
Very well said. I've been there, my friend. When we come back on the other side, more with Tom Cott. If you have have a question for Tom, 855-660-4261, 855-660-4261.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Johnson & Johnson's baby powder and shower-to-shower talcum products have been linked to ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help now today at 800-219-1331. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. The consultation is free and you'll pay nothing unless there is a recovery in your favor. Don't fight this alone. If you or a loved one used talcum baby powder-based products before being diagnosed or died from ovarian cancer, call Talcum Powder Help now at 800-219-1331. 800-219-1331. 800-219-1331.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
How confident are you in your food storage? If it was all you had to rely on, would it sustain your family? Hard times, good times, or any time, New Mana Storable Food is the proven superior choice. Learn for yourself what happened when one man ate only New Mana Storable Food for an entire month. Online at PowerPrepper.com. That's PowerPrepper.com. Experience the New Mana difference.
American-made food stores are love to eat. Yum!
Do you know that good digestion is your body's first line of defense? Millions of Americans suffer from poor digestion. It shows up in the form of heartburn, acid reflux, GERD, irritable bowel syndrome, indigestion, constipation, diarrhea, and many other symptoms. Healthy digestion relies on armies of friendly bacteria. These good bugs keep bad bugs in check. Probimune, a new, uniquely developed probiotic, is scientifically proven to get to your gut and deliver the benefits of improved digestion. Probimune is an immune system booster and a digestive health enhancer. It's simple to use, and most importantly, you will feel Probimune working, soothing, and relaxing the gut. Get yours today by visiting younghealth.com or call 800-396-9024. Again, that's 800-396-9024. Use coupon code DIGEST to receive 15% off your first order.
Diabetes is at war with your circulatory system. Fight back with Cardovite. Cardovite is a dietary supplement containing powerful herbs for circulation and healthy cardiac function. Improve your energy, stamina, and mental acuity. Reduce swelling, cold hands, and risk of amputation. Get your blood flowing with Cardovite. This 5-star rated product was developed by a diabetic pharmacist and is available online at www.getbloodflowing.com. That's www.getbloodflowing.com.
And now, back to the show with the highest octane, Auto World, and your host, Bob Long.
Welcome back, everybody. We're telling you all about not one book in this hour, but two books by our good friend Tom Cotter. You must check out both of these. The Cuba book is just fantastic, and we talked about that in the first couple of segments. Right now, we're talking about the Route 66 Barn Find Road Trip Lost Collector Cars Along the Mother Road. And certainly, I would imagine that traveling along the Mother Road there, not only did you meet some really cool folks, but also you must have found some abandoned vehicles. I understand there's quite a few abandoned trucks and stuff like that in that neck of the woods.
There are. You know, some places along Route 66 are vibrant, and the gas stations, Art Deco-style buildings, and hotels, and neon signs, they're actually bring tourists in, but many places have to work really hard to get people to drive off the interstate highway and go into their town. And so they decorate their town with rusty old trucks and cars, and it's like they're like magnets, I guess, to bring people off. So you would never imagine that rusty vehicles would be used as ornaments, but in many towns in Arizona, New Mexico, they certainly are. I think shows like American Pickers and whatever have gotten people interested in authentic old things. And so even to, you know, women that don't care about cars, they'll look twice when they see a rusty old Chevy sitting there, because on TV it's cool.
That's true. Absolutely. Got an email question out of Paul in New Hampshire, listening on WCCM, actually, in Lawrence, Massachusetts. He lives in Nashua, in New Hampshire. And he has a question. He says, Tom, I love all your books, and I'm curious about the vehicles that you find in places like Arizona. I can only imagine that if you look for barn finds in Florida or Georgia, you're going to have a lot of rust. But what about places like Arizona?
Arizona is amazing, and New Mexico is amazing. I had never really looked for cars out there. I'd never been there. But starting the book in Illinois, you've got northern rust and salty roads that have affected sheet metal and whatever. But as you go further south and further west along Route 66 or whatever, it's amazing. And you can see junkyards. We went to junkyards that had cars. They have surface rust because the sun just beats and beats and beats on the horizontal surfaces. But on the side, you could just take a buffing wheel and buff this 50, 60-year-old car out, and it would probably shine like new. So, you know, if you live in New Hampshire, it's hard to find a solid car in New Hampshire that's left outside. You better look for one indoors. But if you want to get on the road and go out to New Mexico, in Arizona, there are some gems that you can drag back home and be the envy of all your friends.
Very, very good. What were some of your favorite, in addition to the custard spot in St. Louis, what were some of your other favorite dining establishments along historic Route 66?
Oh, let's see. Well, there were pizza places. I mean, we tried to eat the local food, and we tried never to go to a franchise restaurant. We wanted to go to hometown,
today.
You know,
yeah.
Family-owned, mom-and-pop kind of places. And so, most of the places, you know, we never saw before, we'll never see again. They're just one place of one place. But just terrific, terrific food and beverages. I mean, I'm a microbrewery fan. I love craft beer. And so we did our best to taste as much of that as we could every evening. But, you know, going to a restaurant or going to a pub with a Woody parked outside, and if you're not afraid to talk to strangers, lots of times those places would give us the leads that we would pursue the next morning. You know, you got to check my uncle's backyard out. He's got a load of old pickup trucks back there, whatever. So that was a nice part about eating local. You got to meet locals and become friends with locals, and those locals gave us local tips. It's pretty good.
Yeah, no, it's so true, and not an easy thing to obtain today. I mean, today here in 2016, when you travel around the country, especially if you're not out too far from a city, I mean, it's just, you know, chain restaurant after chain restaurant. Not unlike the media, I mean, you know, being a radio guy, when you've got 85% of this nation's radio stations in the hands of four or five companies, you can go anywhere and hear the same exact thing.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Yeah. It's a shame. But back to 66, some of the cars we found on there, I remember in just outside of Albuquerque, New Mexico, we kind of poked around this town a little bit and saw some cars, but they were behind a fence. And somebody said the guy that lives there is crazy. Don't go through the fence. He's got dogs and stuff. So, but next door to that, we just found this intriguing collection of cars, maybe 50 or 60 cars. And I saw a phone number on a building that was there. So I called, and the guy said, yeah, those are my cars. I fix up old cars. I'm retired from the restaurant business, but I fix up old cars. And he agreed to meet us there in a couple of hours. So we went back after lunch and met him there, and he showed us this car, 53 Ford Tudor wagon, a 58 Chevy, a Falcon, whatever. And then we come up to a Lincoln Continental, a 61 or 62 Lincoln Continental, and it's a black car. He said, how do you like that car? I said, oh, I guess it's okay. You know, I'm not a big Lincoln fan. I can appreciate it. He said, that was owned by Ella Fitzgerald. I said, no way. He said, yeah, it was. And he went inside his office and came out, and he showed me the registration, Ella Fitzgerald in Beverly Hills, and there's the license plate. And I looked down on the bumper, and there's the California black plate of when Ella owned it. And holy mackerel. So here you have like a jazz icon, and her car sitting in this yard in the dry. I mean, it could be restored easily because the metal's solid. The leather is certainly shot. And he wants $5,000 for it. I said, man, that's a deal. You know, if like even for a jazz museum, that might be something cool to buy.
Absolutely. Talk about something to, drive folks into even a jazz club or bar or restaurant, but certainly a jazz museum. Talk about a perfect fit. Absolutely. So, Tom, you've written so many of these wonderful books, and I know you're always thinking on the next one. Can you tell us what you're working on now?
Well, I just finished the book that'll be out next spring. You know, you do Route 66. Wow, that was a good adventure. Now, how do you top that?
And
so I talked to my publisher, Zach Miller at Motor Books, and I talked to Michael Allen Ross, my photographer buddy. And we decided, you know what would be really cool? Instead of driving every day to make three, you know, Route 66, we had to do 200 to 300 miles a day, plus look for cars. So we just, you know, pack up in one hotel room, drop it off at another. Every day, every morning, we had to pack up and move to another hotel to keep on target to go to California. Let's stay in one town and keep our, you know, our suitcases in one place. So we went to Detroit and spent 10 days in Detroit and didn't have to move hotels at all. And we hunted for cars from the middle of the city to about an hour outside of the city. And man, did we find cool cars. It, you know, that's the Motor City. And I have to tell you, it's more than just a nickname. Those people are nuts about cars. They love them. The auto industry is their, you know, is their local bread and butter, or at least it was major in the old days. So many retired engineers that worked for Ford and Chevy and Chrysler that now are retired, and they're building the hot rods that they've had in their backyard for forever in the back of the garage. They're building cool cars. I totally enjoyed it. We went down, you know, people said, oh, don't go down in the inner city, you know, without a guard with a gun or whatever. You know what? I never, ever, ever felt threatened. I don't know if it was the Woody, but we drove out down into the hood and made so many friends, and they showed us cars, and they took pictures of the Woody. It was just an amazing trip, and it just reinforced my belief that America's a great place, and if I were 25 years old, I would move to Detroit, because that is a happening town.
It definitely is. It's on the rebound, and any time I talk to the car company executives or in particular designers like Camillo Pardo, the designer of the Bill Water Ford GT, the 2004 rendition. He's got a beautiful place and is gung-ho about the rising of Detroit, and that's good news for all of us. Tom, they're chasing us out the door. We'll do this again soon. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much, Bob.
July 25th, 2006, we adopted April. She's a purebred, orange and white, Brittany. But when she started scratching like crazy, I said to John, it's got to be her food. You know, what you put into a dog is what you get out. We heard this radio commercial, and this woman was so excited about Dinovite.
Dinovite.com.
859-428-1000.
I said to John, oh, I'm getting this. So the Dinovite comes, and I thought, a light bulb moment. She loves her dog food. She always leaves a little bit in her bowl. So we have a huge scoop of Dinovite in it, and then we swished it around like gravy. She dove into that bowl. She licked it clean. She loved it. So that's been the routine for almost 10 years. April gets Dinovite for dessert. Her coat is now soft. It's silky. It's smooth. She even walks like a little princess.
859-428-1000.
On Dinovite. She's Little Miss Hollywood.
Dinovite.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable for the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA. Go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Has neck, back, or shoulder pain got you down? Go to sunshine-pillows.com and get soothing comfort, support, and pain relief fast. Their microwavable heat therapy pillows and wraps treat neck and shoulder pain, reduce stress, and relax the soul. An ergonomic pillow from Sunshine Pillows supports your head and neck on long trips or when simply resting at home. Be good to yourself. Visit sunshine-pillows.com. Sunshine-pillows.com.